Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, City fans. You're probably wondering who this is. My name's Niall, work for the Football Social. Yeah, there's a few of us behind the scenes, but we've got a bit of bonus content for you. No less because it's the biggest game of the season on Thursday night. Manchester City against Liverpool. And we've been speaking to a City fan, Ant McGinley, and a Liverpool fan, Steve McNaughton, both from our office here at the Football Social. So they both had a little chat about how they felt the game was going to go. Certainly a must-win for Manchester City, it feels like, but not so sure about Liverpool. They seem to be in pole position. Anyway, we'll get into the guts of it in the podcast, so enjoy this little bonus feature.
Manchester Football Social.
It's the biggest game of the season, and it could decide who are the Premier League champions come May. Manchester City against Liverpool at the Etihad, and we cannot wait for it. This is the Manchester Football Social. My name's Niall, and we're going to be pulling apart the most mouth-watering clash of the season. All in the company of City fan Ant McGinley from our Sunday Social. Hello, Ant. How are you, mate?
I'm really, really nervous. Last night, in anticipation of this, I went online and played Liverpool on Pro Evo as City. All set up, got everything there still. 10-0 we lost. 10-0.
What difficulty were you playing?
They were on legend difficulty. I just started giving myself a dirty test. But then they always say the dress rehearsal, if it goes wrong, it's going to be great on the day.
We also we got Liverpool supporter Steve McNaughton with us. Hello, Steve.
Nice. Hello, mate. How are you?
I tell you what, it must be nice for you sitting in an office full of people chatting about City and United. You actually get to talk about Liverpool for once.
It makes a nice change, a welcome change. And yeah, glad to be here.
I tell you what then, the festive season is always absolutely mental, fixture after fixture. It's been no different this year. So many ups and downs. But Liverpool, they've ploughed through it. They're still yet to lose. And City, on the other hand, are showing a few signs of fragility at the back. So I teed it up as the decider. If City lose to Liverpool, Steve, is that effectively the title race done and dusted?
I don't think it is. I think we've got losses to come as well. I think we're enjoying this moment. We're taking each game as it comes. And, none of us want the ride to stop because we've been sensational of late. I think there's many twists and turns still to come in this. I mean, we've been relatively scot-free from an injury point of view. So I'm expecting a few more twists and turns in this.
I mean, we saw Arsenal do it 15 odd years ago, go undefeated. I don't think Liverpool can do it. But nah. I mean, if they beat City, who's going to stop them? If City can't, who will?
If they go 10 points clear, that it's a huge milestone to achieve. I think it makes it difficult because I think Liverpool have then got a buffer zone where they can potentially lose three games and still be up there. I think we will lose at some point, and it'll be something where it's not expected. Looking at our fixtures, the next six we've got, I was speaking to a colleague in the office before, and he said, oh, you've got a really nice run coming up as well. That's the type of stuff that's very dangerous because there's banana skins all over the place in it. And I think Jurgen's got them in the right mentality. It's each game as it comes. We're not even looking to games, in the coming weeks. I think our focus is Man City tomorrow night, and then obviously whatever happens with that, we move on to Brighton then, and we can't look past that, in all honesty. But I think 10 points would be lovely, but I think realistically, I think even if we do get beat tomorrow night and it's a 4-point gap, it's not the end of the world.
I think that's a sensible view as a Liverpool fan, because if you think back to 2009, where Liverpool were in the title race, finished second,
threw it away.
2013, Gerrard slipped, which I'm sure you don't need reminding about.
Interesting that you use the term banana skins when that slip so famously haunts you.
I know.
Yeah, but there we go. What about City at the back then? Because you lost 10-0 on Pro Evo, Ant, but to be honest with you, I can't see you losing 10-0 to Liverpool, but I also can't see how you're going to stop Liverpool scoring goals.
The thing is, they're the only team I get nervous about at the minute. Right now, I'd rather play Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, anybody beginning with a B, right, than Liverpool. And I had the same thing last season when we got them in the Champions League. It was the one team I did not want to get.
Yeah.
And they seem to have this hoodoo over us. Obviously, there's this thing as well that Klopp has over Pep.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's just because they played each other more than any other manager, but he's got the best record against Pep than anybody else. I think it'll be really interesting if we meet each other in a final this year, because obviously Jürgen's made so many finals and not won anything, but has always beaten Pep, or he's had that tendency to do it. I'm a bit nervous. I mean, we've never been known for having a strong defence, really, let's be honest. And we've had a great forward line. We've had some, you know, record-breaking amount of goals last season, all this, but it seems to be, even in that department, we've taken this back step compared to Liverpool this season. So it's really tough. I mean, like, although we beat Southampton, and relatively the scoreline looks quite comfortable, the game was still quite tense. And I think there's a lot of tension about City, especially this last probably even going back 3 months.
What changed then? Because when you were flying at the start of the season, everyone said the difference this year with City is they've tightened up the defence. They're not conceding goals. They look even more solid than they did last season. But then all of a sudden, Mendy's injured. Delph's been sent off for a shocking challenge. And then Zinchenko, who's a number 10, is trying to play left back. And you just look frail all of a sudden.
You know what the thing is? You mentioned Mendy there. Interestingly, this all ties in, and nobody's mentioning this, when Pep had a go at Mendy and said, come off social media, stop spending so much time on social media. That's when things started to tense up. So maybe that's what we actually needed. Because all the way through last season, he was such a big part of the team. He was tweeting, he was doing all this. Then he came back, he was playing, and he was pulled aside. And Pep said, look, stop being on social media so much. Focus on the game. I mean, to be honest, I was waiting for the game where he'd be going down the wing, right, put a cross in, and then tweet about it. Pull his phone out of his socks and tweet about it. And that's potentially the stage we were getting to. But maybe something's happened. Maybe it just doesn't seem relaxed. I mean, it seems like a better atmosphere than United have had most of the season. But there just seems to be, it's just not all falling into place. Something's not quite right. I mean, we're still getting the chances. We're still getting the possession. But we're just not getting the goals. I mean, even the defeats that we've had in December, when you go back and you look at the game's shots that we had, the possession, you could just put it down to luck. And you know what? If December was just our month for bad luck, I'll live with that. I'll be happy with that.
Well,
that'd be good.
In that Southampton game, Pep called Zinchenko like his man of the match. He thought he was played great, considering he made a mistake. If that was the Liverpool team that they're coming up against in a couple of days' time, then, you know, that's a sort of mistake. That's a fatal mistake.
So, I mean, the thing was with that, watching the game, and Zinchenko was having a nightmare. First of all, he loses possession, gives the ball away to, that leads to the goal for Southampton. Then he almost gives away a penalty, and he just looked really like he was going to fall apart. At one point, it looked like he was going to start crying. I mean, certainly if it had been me, I would have done that. But then what he did, and I think this is what Pep's congratulated him for, is he put in that great cross for Aguero's header, only like 20 minutes after that fatal error almost with the goal. And I think the way Pep coaches, he's a very supportive, a very loving, almost like the opposite of Jose style. And I think he recognised, you know, that kind of strength of character to recover from such a mistake and do that. And I think that's going to have much more impact on Zinchenko moving forward than chastising him for it. Now, he may still be chastised. I don't know if we'll see him against Liverpool as a result of what happened there. But you're completely right. I watched that game and going, all right, we got through it. We've won. We really needed that win. But if we play like that against Salah, if we play like that against Firmino, we're going to be destroyed.
Surely you got to fancy it, Steve. I mean, the frailties at left-back for City, as we've just been talking about, against that right side. I mean, even Trent Alexander-Arnold knows how to whip a ball in and get things going for Liverpool. So you must fancy it against that weakened left side.
I don't know whether I fancy it. I don't know whether because due to nerves.
He's got derby belly.
I have got derby belly.
Even though it's not a double, we can wind up United fans here.
Yeah, well, they're not important.
It's the biggest game of the season. Far more bigger than any other game in the calendar.
Yeah, they're well out of the picture. You know, I mean, where are they now? I don't even know where they are in the league. And that says everything about where Man United are. I am very nervous about tomorrow night because I think the pressure's on City for tomorrow night, because if we do lose, it's not the end of the world, like I said. Where if City lose, it could be considered cash, you know.
I think the problem that you've got is this is the third time in recent memory that you've been top at Christmas and New Year and not won. In fact, you're the only team
to
have done that and to have not gone on to win.
So that will be weighing on people's minds. There's no doubt about it. But
and also as well, we've got form as well, because was it 2012 when we won? We were 8 or 10 points behind United with only 5 or 6 games to go. So it's not an insurmountable gap, especially if you get to the stage where you're back in the Champions League final again this year. Yeah. There's lots going on.
Yeah, I think you know, if I mean, what the hell? I'll put a prediction out for it now. I think tomorrow night's going to be a draw. And I'd be happy with that. I'd take that. I think if we go a goal behind, it's not the end of the world. I think this Liverpool team at the minute is equipped to handle going a goal behind, like they did against Arsenal at the weekend, because they woke up after 11 minutes when the kid who was on the right-hand side for Arsenal was quite handy. I can't remember. Is Maitland-Niles?
Got the goal.
But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that we woke up and we suddenly, and 3 minutes later, we were 2-1 up. So I don't think it's a disaster, but I think tomorrow night, I think we'll go ahead and get pegged back.
But the thing is, you've had such a great 2018 at Anfield.
Yeah.
Like, you really have. That Maitland-Niles goal was the first time you've gone behind at Anfield in the whole year.
Yeah.
Right? But when you look, say, for example, the Champions League, you didn't get a point away from home. You know, that's what you've had this season anyway. And so you're out of your comfort zone. Now, if the game was at Anfield,
yeah,
I'd be like, okay, we'll be
in trouble. Well, how much of an advantage is the Etihad then, Ant, for Manchester City in this situation? Because Liverpool have been strong home and away, you'd argue, for 2018, particularly in the league, not so much in the Champions League. But I mean, Manchester City have struggled to get the better of Liverpool for the last 3 or 4 meetings. We all know what happened last season. They couldn't beat them, the only team they couldn't beat.
Well, you see, the thing is, when the pressure's on, when you're stressed and you've got a big insurmountable challenger ahead of you, what you need is some calm and some quiet. And there's not many places quieter than the Etihad at the minute. So I think that will help. We're not the fortress that we were. I think a lot of that is, I mean, there's different people's reasons for this. Personally, I think that there's still a hang-up from the City fans, sort of my generation. City fans are 30 years or more, who remember the difficult times, and we almost don't believe what's happening at the minute. We almost don't believe it. And so we're kind of expecting it to go wrong. And so what happens is, even when we're 1-0 or 2-0 up against United, whatever, we're still thinking they're going to come back. And I think there's a healthy side to that, but it becomes a little bit of a psychological disorder.
Yeah, yeah. I think you were talking about the Southampton game before, and I was looking at my Sky Sports app and seeing how they were getting on and going, God, you know, when I seen you 3-1 up. I think 3-1 now in the Premier League isn't a safe score anymore.
Nope.
Whereas you'd look at 3-1 in the past and you think, oh yeah, they've put them to the sword there and they give them a hard time. But now, because of the pace that the games are played in, and I think the level of all the teams in there, 3-1 isn't that safe anymore. But the point I was going to make, it's going to be interesting to see how Pep sets up tomorrow night against Liverpool, because I think when they come to Anfield earlier in the season, it was very much an attempted smash and grab.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we know Mahrez missed the penalty. It was a terrible miss, but you know, it was be solid, be compact, be difficult to break down, sit back further than they usually do in a game and just try and grab something. And it almost paid off. But tomorrow night, he's going to have to come out a little bit, Pep.
That's the thing. We have to win. We can't just sit back. I mean, a draw would be okay, but it's not really going to do anything.
It's not going to help Man City.
If we want to go, we've got to come out. And to be honest, I don't think the sides are going to change. And I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow we see like a 4-3 game.
Yeah,
I mean,
is that the barometer of Manchester City season, that over the last sort of few weeks, the Christmas period, they've let it slip to the point where it's a must-win for City, but it's not a must-win for Liverpool? I mean, Liverpool could get away with losing or even drawing and still be in pole position.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the other factors that I've been thinking about as well is that we don't really tend to concede more than one goal at the minute. So whether that'll be a factor tomorrow night as well, I don't know.
We conceded 7 or 8 all season. I mean, it's remarkable. The defence has improved tenfold. I mean, Virgil van Dijk, unbelievable player. Robertson's been playing exceptionally well. I mean, are City going to have to go with, you know, the likes of Leroy Sané, Raheem Sterling, rather than the old guard of Aguero, just for that little bit of extra pace, trying to nip in behind perhaps and get the better of the Liverpool defence?
I'm not sure. I think Ant's probably better equipped to answer that, City every week.
But I think Aguero's going to start, definitely. There's especially with his record against Liverpool. I mean, we're looking at, I think every time City have played Liverpool in the league at the Etihad and Aguero's played, he scored.
Yeah.
And you can't discount a record like that.
And if he's dangerous around the box, isn't he, Aguero? If he gets the ball outside the box, he can get it onto his right foot.
Yeah, and I think as well, Aguero and Sane are probably, even De Bruyne, but in terms of the rest of our forward line, most of their goals are just tap-ins on the 6-yard line. Whereas you're looking at Aguero, De Bruyne, and Sane are more likely to get you the goals out of the
centre
box.
Yeah, they can test Alisson from distance, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, which I think might be quite important tomorrow night as well.
And Alisson is due another mistake because it's every sort of three games at the minute, isn't it?
he's made two all season. You know, he's attempted Cruyff turn at Leicester.
Well, you compare that to what Edison did on the goal line at Southampton as well.
Unbelievable.
Do you know what? I didn't see it. I've got to be honest, I didn't see it.
I've watched it about 100 times.
Neither did Southampton. It's that good.
But it's interesting. It's all set up to be a classic tomorrow night. And I think a brave man will put money on the result tomorrow night, I think.
I'm feeling brave.
Got a few newspapers here as well. Lots of them saying that Pep Guardiola confident that burnout will send Liverpool tumbling. As Steve said, that Liverpool have not had too many injuries. Sergio Aguero will score his 250th goal if he manages to score against Liverpool at Etihad tomorrow night. And one fella, Henry Winter from The Times, has said that the whole football world should celebrate if Liverpool win the league. Now, I'm not so sure about that.
That seems quite a bizarre
I think it's a really weird thing to say.
Yeah.
I think what he means is that, you know, it's good for the Premier League that another team's sort of winning it.
Oh, to mix it up a bit.
To make it a little bit more, even though it's competitive as anyway, but to make it even more competitive. But I think the way he's written his article to say that the whole football world should celebrate if Liverpool... I mean, if I'm a United fan or an Everton fan, I'm thinking there's the last thing I want in the world is for them to win.
I wonder if he means from a football point of view and the football that Liverpool play.
Yeah.
So if you're quite neutral from a purest point of view, whether that's what he means when he says the football world should celebrate. But like I say, I don't think our neighbours at the bottom end of the M62 are going to be too happy about that. Never mind the blue quarter of Liverpool as well.
I mean, we joked about it earlier, but is this now a bigger game than Liverpool-Manchester United?
Oh, this particular fixture, in the last
two seasons, there's no denying in my mind. I mean, as supporters, you guys, I mean, would you agree with that?
I think from a what's at stake point of view, I would totally agree. I think, and funnily enough, we were talking about it just outside the studio before me and a couple of the colleagues in the office. And I still think that Liverpool-Man United game and what comes with a Liverpool-Man United game, or all the kind of needle, if you like, and the rivalry that's been set up over decades and decades, it still makes it quite an important fixture. I think the fact that Man United are where they are, they're showing signs of resurgence. I mean, but let's be honest about it. I mean, they've played Huddersfield, Bournemouth and Cardiff. It's nothing to get too excited about. But, you know, the Solskjaer looks like he's took the shackles off Pogba a little bit. So I think the league needs a competitive Man United, and they aren't at the minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you not think, though, with that derby game, Liverpool United, a couple of weeks back, that it just didn't feel the same? It's almost like you knew Liverpool were going to win, which is great for a Liverpool fan. But derby games, you want that edge. And it was almost like it was such a damp squib from United. Yeah. It was like Liverpool just strolled to victory. Yeah. In derby games, you want to be feeling nervous. You want to get that tension, that great game of football. It just was never there. It was a breeze for Liverpool.
The feeling that we've got for tomorrow night's game, the United game a few weeks back was nothing like it, because I think When David Moyes was in charge of United, Liverpool went to Old Trafford and wiped the floor with him 3-0. And I can't remember the score. It might have been 2-1 at Anfield. I'm not sure. Someone will probably correct me online or something like that. But we knew that we'd just have to turn up and play our game when we beat Man United quite convincingly. And I think even though it was Jose, and Jose's got something of a bit of a hoodoo over Jurgen Klopp, that all your pundits, your fans thought, if we show up, there's only going to be one team in this. And 6 minutes in, I think we cut them open for the second time, and I thought it's going to be a rough afternoon for United here. And that's what transpired. We were quite comfortable. I thought they were quite fortunate with the goal.
I think that's the difference with this game, is because both teams are definitely going to show up. I mean, if nothing else, we want a bit of revenge, a bit of payback for last season in the Champions League.
We said that last time, though. It was 0-0, and it was a little bit cagey. So this time, is it because it's later on in the season, there is more at stake, that we're going to see a more open, expansive game? Because I remember being absolutely buzzing for this game back in whenever it was, September, October, whenever, and it was 0-0, Mahrez skied the penalty, and I was just thinking, well, I was waiting to see 4-4 or 5-4 or something.
Pep was a bit too cautious, though. Like I said before, he didn't set Man City up. From someone who doesn't watch them as often as you do, it was quite cagey.
It's the one time that I've seen Pep go with a different game plan, because it's always been, we're going to play this way, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to go, this is how we're going to do it. And it just seemed to be, for that fixture, he was like, all right, let's just go there and let's get a point and maybe try and nick it. There was a little, maybe being the neighbours with Jose had sort of rubbed off on him a little bit.
Yeah, because that's what his strategy is, and he's been to Anfield with Chelsea or United and he's got results that way, in the past. But it was different for Pep. And I think Pep is someone who does worry about Liverpool. He has admitted that he does worry about Liverpool. I've seen a quote about, he says, I try to read a book and then I start thinking about Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool. So I think there's a healthy respect there, between the teams, and I think he knows that easily the best two teams in the league by some way.
Well, Pep's been playing a little bit of mind games by saying you're the best team in the world at the moment.
Thank you, Pep.
Which can be taken as a compliment, but also like some people will crack under that pressure.
Oh, it's just to put weight on Liverpool.
It's been not just Pep's been saying this. A lot of people in the media and on social have been saying that Virgil van Dijk, player of the season, PFA player of the season, possibly the best player in the world at the minute.
Can I just say, do you know who statistically the best team in Europe is at the moment?
I don't know.
Portsmouth, thank you very much. we'll leave that for now. Couple more things before we wrap up. Are you guys worried about Spurs? Because they're in second at the moment. They've played a game more than Liverpool and Manchester City. They had that shock defeat at home to Wolves. Before that, everyone was saying, okay, they've battered Everton 6-2. They look like they're a team absolutely storming through the games at the moment. I mean, are you concerned about them? Are they a title rival for you?
I think they are a rival because, they are in the hunt and then the conversations that are involved around the top of the table. But Spurs always do a Spurs, don't they? And the 3-1 defeat at home against Wolves was a Spurs. And I think they've always got that in the locker, Tottenham, to do that. And I think them going on a kind of 18-20 game or whatever, I just don't think that team's got it in them. I don't think they're far away.
Yeah.
And I think they've probably got potentially a United manager in waiting there. But I don't think they've got the legs to do it. I mean, we might not have.
They could have a big say in the title, though, as well, because you've got them in a couple of weeks, haven't you?
We've got them at Anfield, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, if somebody's going to go there and get a result, it's going to be Spurs.
I think we've had quite a lot of joy against Spurs over recent years. It depends which Spurs turn up. If the Spurs that got beat by Wolves 3-1 the other day turn up, we should be okay. But if the Spurs that turned up at Goodison and wiped the floor with them, Everton are no mugs. They're in a transitional period. They've got a decent manager and they made some good signings, but they did wipe the floor with them. And I think that is a concern in a one-off game. But I think over the course of a 38-game season, I think Tottenham are probably behind where City and Liverpool are.
Well, I mean, we've got to play them at home as well. So potentially that's 6 points that they could be given towards the... either way towards the title and the deciding factor.
Okay, so Thursday, 3rd of January, 8 o'clock. Who's going to win? Liverpool against Manchester City at the Etihad. Who's going to win? You've already made a bit of a prediction.
I think it's going to be a draw tomorrow night. I think it'll be 1-1 or potentially 2-2, where 2-2 will be the first time we've conceded two in a long time. But if any team's going to do it, it'll be Man City.
I think there's so much hype. It's either going to be the dullest game of the season, or it's going to be potentially... I wonder if... this is me being very romantic and dreaming about the whole thing. I wonder if there's an element of kind of rumble in the jungle about this. It's been sort of built up into so much, and that we've kind of deliberately played down the last few games just so we can get this big psychological defeat yeah. over Liverpool.
Get down the bookies and put some money on if you're yeah. that confident, I suppose. 4-3.
4-3.
You got 4-3? Wow.
Yeah.
4-3.
Wow. It would not surprise me. As long as it's not 10-0, I'll be happy.
Yeah. 4-3 to Liverpool would be
I'll go 2-1 Liverpool. I just have this feeling that they just look an absolute steam train at
Who's
the moment.
Who's going to score for Liverpool then?
Oh, I don't know that.
I have to say, you know, we were just
Milner from the penalty spot, he's back, so...
He is fit, Milner is fit.
Yeah. And that curse as well. And I mean, Milner was an absolute legend for us, and I was sad to see him go. But you know what we said before about could Liverpool go on and do it and the world being happy? I don't want them to win it this season because I want City to, but actually I think they'd be a very deserving side if they go on to win it. And that's not mind games, or is it?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting if Milner plays tomorrow night because it changes Liverpool's midfield dynamic quite a bit to what it's been recently in recent games when we have been on this run, because he's preferred other players before his injury to him. So it's going to be interesting, but he's a steady, safe pair of hands, isn't he? And, you know, we'll see what Jurgen does.
And also as well, like, interesting that Firmino got that hat-trick the other day as well, because I've had him in my fantasy team most of last year. I dropped him because he just wasn't getting the goals. And what's he going to do?
Yeah, well, Arsenal let you down again.
I've still got John Terry and Christopher Samba in my fantasy team, so it's been a while since I've logged on, to be honest with you.
Every time I do a fantasy team, I finish near the bottom of the table. and I don't know why, because I think, I've got a decent team there. I've used my budget well, but so many players just don't turn up for me, so I don't do them anymore.
I can't keep up. Steve, Ant, thanks very much. This has been the Manchester Football Social. Don't forget, you can check out Dedicated United and City podcasts wherever you find your podcast. Just search Manchester Football Social.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.